I told you yesterday that Corby had invited me to play in a big tennis tournament, and our match was last night at the RBC Tennis Championships of Dallas at T-Bar M Racquet Club. And joining us now on the ticket hotline from the hard line is the Cobra himself. Hi, Corby. How are you?
Hello.
Hello, Corby.
Good morning.
Come in, Corby.
Come in.
Hello, Gordon. Hello, George.
Hi,
hello,
Corby.
Craig.
So when Corby extended this invitation to me a couple of months ago, I had played tennis in the springtime, and it was the first time I'd played in 20 years. Now, back in my 20s, I used to play all the time. I was never any good, but I loved it, and I played every day. But it's been a 20-year hiatus, and when Corby said, hey, the folks at T-Bar M want us to play in this Pro-Am, they're going to play doubles, and they're going to give us each a pro to play with, and it'll be a little exhibition in the middle of their big event, I thought, okay, this will encourage me to play a little bit more the next couple of months. I want to play some more. I love the sport, and this will be fun. Well, over the next couple of months, after Corby invited me, I was unable to play really at all. I went out and hit once. And so I've been really panicking this last week, having nightmares. And when Corby picked me up last night as we're heading out there, I was pretty worried because I didn't think I'd get a serve in, a shot in. I thought I'd be a laughingstock, and in many ways I was. But I do have to say, Corby, I thought it went a little bit better than I expected, but a lot of that had to do with the pros who took it really easy on us.
Yeah, it's not like we were playing each other, and that would have been a total disaster.
Because how much have you been playing, Corby?
I probably average, you know, going to hit balls or playing once a month or once every 3 weeks. I'm in like a little league with, like in the spring and fall with my wife. We play like doubles. And, but I don't play that much. You know, I don't practice or anything. I just kind of get out there and hit with her. And so hitting with her and playing in a basically over 40 co-ed beer league is a little bit different than going out and playing with two 23-year-old pros.
Right.
But, yeah, I thought it went better than I imagined to. I thought it was going to be pretty much a big disaster, but it went okay. Craig sent the really interesting text to me the night before as he was watching tennis on the Tennis Channel, and he goes, I'm noticing everybody that plays that I watch on TV now has a two-handed backhand. Should I try to implement that into my game in one night?
That's plenty of time.
And I don't know if I ever told you this story, Corby, of why I quit tennis 20 years ago. Did I tell
you the
videotape story?
Yeah.
So I used to play every night with our neighbor Tom. And
that's
one,
mistake number one.
One time he came home from visiting his parents, and he brought his dad's video camera, and we set it up on our apartment balcony, which overlooked the tennis court, mm-hmm. and we videotaped a match. And so I've told you my hero was McEnroe, so I emulated McEnroe and all his ground strokes and his serve and everything. And so we ran back inside, and we put the tape in the VCR, and we watched the match. We were speechless for about 10 minutes at how horrific we were. And in my mind, I've looked like John McEnroe all these years, but I really looked like Manute Bol trying to play tennis. It was so awkward and uncoordinated and awful, and Tom and I never played after we saw that tape. We quit right then and there.
It was really that bad? It couldn't have been that bad.
It was awful.
Is that footage on YouTube somewhere? I'd like to direct our audience to it.
Put it up.
So we got out there last night, and the pro at T-Bar M, Chris Wade, showed us the big arena first. He goes, let's go take a look, and we'll watch a little bit of doubles action. Marty Fish was playing, kind of a big name.
Yeah.
Dude, was that not incredible how they had – I mean, I've been up there a ton of times before, but I could not believe how cool it was in there and how real of a tournament feel it had.
They had bleachers set up on either side. They had sponsorship banners everywhere. There were TV cameras. They were streaming the matches on their website. And
dang, so we could have watched this.
By the way, this was indoor.
Outdoor. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, it did have a really big-time feel to it. So when you saw that, did you get a little more nervous?
Yes. Well, then you said we were driving over there. When first off, I've never seen you so nervous for any athletic endeavor, you know, whether it was hockey or football or any of the basketball or any of the stupid things we've done in the past. You were genuinely nervous.
Yes.
Probably because, as you kept reiterating, you've played three times in 20 years.
Yes, and I wanted everybody to know that. I didn't want them to think that I played every day and was this bad.
One of those times was with me and should barely count as a time that you played.
You know what? I don't even count that.
You're a jerk.
Because
you should count that.
No, you don't count, Gordon.
I didn't get any return balls to hit from you.
I bonked. I'm sorry. I ran out of energy.
So the goal for both of you was to play this and people in the stands thinking, oh, they play tennis. This is nice of them to come out and play in this pro-am.
What you wanted? The goal for me was to not completely embarrass myself.
Okay.
That's
and
all.
As soon as you got there, you already regretted because you felt your skirt was too short.
You should have played in one.
Craig showed up wearing like a Royal Tenenbaums track outfit.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
and he took his bottoms off and to reveal not tennis shorts that he was wearing, but camping shorts.
What? Like cargo shorts?
No.
Like he was going hiking.
Yeah, I don't have tennis shorts.
You okay, should have got some real ball huggers, man. You should have really gotten some tight Reno 911 looking stuff.
You know, what really helped was we got to hit for about 15 minutes before the match. And I was bad, but at least the first tennis ball I hit wasn't in front of all those people.
Yeah. We got to warm up.
Did you get after an umpire or anything like that since you're
McEnroe-like
and dog cuss people?
No, I did think about it, but all right, so here's what they do. They introduce us when we were warming up before the match, before we took center court. They introduce us to our two pros that we played with, Jason Young and Evan King. And they both played at the University of Michigan. Jason's ranked 290 in the world right now in singles, and Evan is ranked, I think, 450.
They're vulnerable. So, you could have knocked them off.
Well, like Corby and I said, that's 290 in the world.
Yeah.
We were playing with, you know, some of the best. So they had instructed the pros to take it easy on us, you know, to not drill shots at us, to not hit full speed serves, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got out there and they introduced us and we start playing, they let a lot of stuff go. So I didn't really have any calls to argue because if a serve was close, we played it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. If one of our shots was questionable or maybe even a little out, if the pro got to it, we just played it. So there weren't a lot of controversial moments.
But you were prepared for that shtick.
Yes, I had that ready, but I never got to use it.
How could you call that out?
That ball was on the line! Did you wear the Bjorn Borg headband?
No.
Dang it.
Dang. You needed that and a skirt.
You need bits.
A skirt. Yeah, you know what? Okay, so I had forgotten that Gordon and I played Pete Sampras and Andy Roddick. I literally had forgotten that me and Gordon had played with the two of the greatest American tennis players in the history of the world. And that just escaped my mind. Like, I didn't realize that we had done that. Maybe because, were we that bad?
Yeah, we were pretty bad.
It was forgettable.
And remember, I had brought those wooden rackets of my dad's from when he was a kid.
Yeah, from like 1972 or something like that.
No, try like 1958.
So they ended up, the pros ended up playing with those wooden rackets, and they actually had a blast with that. So that was a good bit. We really didn't have a bit. It was just a bunch of people, like, kind of staring at us, like, okay, here you go. And there were probably about 10 or 15 P1s that were in the crowd that talked to us before the match. And they're like, oh, we're going to boo you guys unmercifully, and, you know, don't screw this up, idiots. And so there was a little bit of pressure, but the fact that you have two professionals playing with you, it masks quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They could cover up for you.
Yeah. Now, to Craig's credit, for playing three times in 20 years, he wasn't that bad. But in his serve, it was so funny. It was, we're warming up. The two dudes, as soon as he starts to serve the ball when we're practicing, both of them look. And one, the guy on my side that I ended up playing with, he looks at me and he goes, does he think he's McEnroe or something? Because he serves identical to McEnroe, and McEnroe's the only human being ever to serve that way, and Craig is trying to emulate him perfectly.
He does that in every sport. He tried to be a running back like Billy Sims. He tried to be like the Iceman in basketball. It's, that's his thing.
So Craig was already really sensitive. He goes, man, I hate it that everybody thinks that I just look and try to be like McEnroe. He's like, I really don't know how to do it any other way.
I don't.
And so he's real sensitive. And so the guy who's the umpire, you know, he's got a mic up there and he's doing shtick. And so it's Craig's turn to serve. And Craig hits one serve. And the guy goes, who does he think he is, John McEnroe?
Yeah. On the PA. And I just, oh, man, I get that everywhere.
You're tired of being confused
yes,
for yeah. McEnroe. Yeah. Yeah.
You're your own player.
I'm not kidding you. So I've played long enough here over the last, long enough. I just started back up in like a year and a half ago. But I've hit against guys that can really serve, like really serve hard. I've, you know, tried my best to return it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Craig gets up there and freaking launches. Like, he hits two serves that were literally unreturnable.
Wow.
And I was standing there. One hit the frame of my racket and kind of broke my wrist all limp and gay. And
whoa.
The racket kind of dropped. You know, I'm like, what the hell? And the guy I'm playing with, the pro, he goes, man, that guy's money on those serves.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
A pro said that about me.
I didn't know you had power.
Man, I'm looking at, I'm going to retweet this pic right now. I'm looking at a picture of you serving Junior.
Yeah, I retweeted that a little while ago.
Good Lord, you look legit.
Now, I will say that when I used to play, and Tom and Quinson can vouch for me, that is the only thing I had.
Serve?
I did have a good serve. I have nothing else.
You had beautiful feet.
I do have beautiful feet. My ground strokes are pathetic. But I can serve.
His backhand, it looks like, imagine like an 80-year-old man trying to fend off a kitten.
How many times did someone hit it to my backhand, and I had the most feeble attempt where my racket would just collapse in my hand?
Yeah, it's the hardest thing. I don't understand that either. I've asked Craig before, why don't you play with, just put your racket in the hand you want to hit it with? And that way you wouldn't have to use a backhand. That's what I do when I play tennis. I hate the backhand.
I use two rackets.
Yeah, why can't you do that?
But it would be so funny. We'd get this rally going, and then someone hit to Craig's backhand, and it would be this soft little slice that just, it took like 30 minutes for it to come over the net. You know, we're just all waiting for it.
Hey, at least he hit it. I'd whiff. I can't stand the backhand.
And you know what? You know what I thought would happen when I would hit a bad shot like that? I thought there'd be a lot of laughter in the crowd, but there were just moans and groans.
Oh, no.
Like everyone was feeling genuinely sorry
for
me.
Yeah, like they're watching some guy lose his game.
Yes.
This is the moment that he's losing it.
So the funniest part is my me and my guy, Evan, we went up like 4-3 or 4-2. I don't know what it was. So if we were playing one set, and it was fast, too, because there was no deuce or no add. It was just straight points. And so it went by pretty quickly. So it got to 4-3.
I think it was 4-2.
4-2. And he goes, and the umpire goes, we're going to go ahead and make it 5-2 just for time constraints and lack of interest.
Oh, my God.
That's your big tennis moment.
They had to speed the match up due to lack of interest.
That's generally not called in sports.
Right. How can you judge that?
I just kind of looked over at Craig and like a little tear rolls down, you know?
No one's interested in this.
Jump cut, dissolved to Junior sitting alone in a bar a few hours later just nursing a beer. Wonder where it all went wrong.
I have to congratulate Corby and Evan. They defeated me and Jason, and I think it was 6-3 maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So even you guys lost interest with what the score was.
They won the match. Congratulations. And I went up to Jason, my pro partner, after the match, and I said, hey, if you want a different doubles partner from here on out, I'll understand completely. And he goes, hey, man, I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh, no! Dang it!
Take a tennis tournament?
Ooh, can you imagine that?
It P1's
coming out there. Gosh, I'd be eliminated so quickly.
No, nobody would come out for that, but...
No. Well, no.
Maybe just the finals. They wouldn't have to watch the early rounds.
I think people would watch that.
The early rounds may be the most entertaining.
Because we'd have shtick.
Yeah.
We could have, like, the unstable live play-by-play going over loudspeakers with Razor doing it or something funny like that.
Just an idea.
It would be funny.
Yeah.
It would be funny. You cannot imagine, though, until you actually put a racket in your hand, and you guys all can attest to this, and then it's seeing the pros play that close, too, mm-hmm. how good they are. It's like yeah. golf, where you don't, you're like, right. oh, whatever, it's golf. Bleh. Yeah, right. Go try it. Go.
And to hit in front of a professional, you feel so inadequate. Like, he's watching me right now, and I'm,
I don't know.
And I'm so bad, I'm going to tank.
I did pretty well in front of Sampras.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way you remember it.
Yeah, anyway. I believe that we beat you guys, didn't we, Corby? Sampras and I beat you and Roddick?
Yes, your wooden rackets. And that was, I remember doing that. I remember asking Sampras as he's getting ready to serve and take it easy on me. And I go, hey, I like yell, there's 5,000 people there. I go, Pete, I was like, give me your best. And he was like, are you serious? I go, give me your best. He served one, and I swear to God, I never saw the ball.
And that was with a wooden racket that has never been restrung
right.
since Eisenhower.
Right. It had the compression of a fishing net.
All right.
You know what? There was a really cool moment at the very end of the match when Evan and Jason just did a Globetrotters routine where they just volleyed back and forth about 20 times at the net. Remember that? And they did, and they did between their legs. And
did they ever heat up on you guys?
No, thank God they never did. But that was a moment where you realized just how good they are and just what control they have over the ball.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's a fun sport, man.
It is a fun sport.
It was awesome. So thanks, Corby, for the invite. Thanks to the folks at TBRM for having us out there. I know we bored the crowd, but Corby and I had fun.
Yeah.
No, no, no. I'm going to do some market research and find out if the P1s are interested in a ticket tennis tournament.
I think it's a good idea.
But we'll have to have tons of bits and shtick to cover up for the bad tennis.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, two rackets. You can use two rackets.
I can use two rackets. I can get a big oversized one, you know, that's like a novelty racket hanging in the sporting goods store.
Butterfly net.
Yeah.
To catch it.
All right, Corby, go ice that elbow.
All right, wean bone.
All right, see ya.
Don't say that.
That's Corby Davidson. Hear him daily with Mike Reiner on the Hardline from 3 until 7 here on the